Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Reopening at some point this week. I think it's Thursday night. So make sure you get yourself down there when they reopen. Plenty of events going on in January and February, which they've just started advertising. Been joined to discuss the QPR game today by Matt Lansley. Matt, QPR are just a horrible team. We just always seem to end up sacking it or losing awfully against them.
2 years now, isn't it? We've thrown away two goal leads, you know, consecutive times. I mean, yeah, like I actually looked at, we don't seem to have that much fortune against QPR. I think it's 3 wins in 10 now against QPR in the league. It was funny. I was talking to Paul on the way home yesterday, and I think the most amusing thing that came out of yesterday was actually how much QPR do actually seemingly care about Reading, which I thought was amusing. But so be it.
We are massive, Paul, so I do get it. They, you know, always need 5,000 tickets for their away fans when they come to the SEL.
Oh, yeah. The pride of West London. I mean, let's just forget Chelsea, Fulham and Brentford. But let's move on from that one. No. Yeah, my thing is about yesterday. Also, it was a double blow because it was Neil Critchley. I remember when we were tuning up against Blackpool a couple of seasons ago and they came back to beat us 3-2. It had a very, very similar feel yesterday. But thankfully, we did at least get a point.
Yeah. That instigated our rather big dip in form under Pauner, because that was last season.
It definitely did. It was the start of the downfall, I think, from memory. Blackpool at home. Let's start off today. We'll start off with the good, the bad, and the injured. Matt, from yesterday, the good. I feel like there's one good which comes out of yesterday straight away. Fairly obvious one.
I don't think it needs that much mentioning, does it? Jeff Hendrick, 2 goals. Actually, well, it sounds a bit silly saying it's probably his best game, but, you know, he seemed to be a lot more confident. He was running with the ball well. Just more of that, please, Jeff, because, I mean, to this point, it's been very anonymous, as we've said, kind of week on week with him. But yeah, Jeff Hendrick, an obvious good point. I think you could probably put Lumley on there as well for his contribution. You know, I don't really think many people can be complaining at his performance, even though there was 2 goals.
Paul, the bad from yesterday. I mean, there's a couple of things, but what have you got on the list?
The list is very long, but I try to condense it. Tactics, substitutions, Naby Sarr. I mean, we need to have a separate section when we talk about Naby Sarr and being 6'20", whatever he is, and not being able to head the ball repeatedly under pressure. I mean, you look at that second goal and it just, you know it's going to happen again. So, yes, there's a lot of negatives from yesterday, but I do agree with Matt's positives as well.
We'll come on to some of the positives and negatives, I'm sure. And then the injured from yesterday. And Carroll came off in the second half, apparently left the stadium wearing some kind of protective boot. Shane Long came off, maybe injured, I think, from what I read.
It was a calf strain for Long. I think Carroll was a sprained ankle or rolled ankle, which, you know, that could be a week, that could be 4 weeks. It depends on, you know, how serious it is. But I think the biggest one was Hutchinson, wasn't it? You know,
14 coming into the game, right? Hutchinson. Yeah. And presumably going to be out for another 3-4 weeks again. It's Sam Hutchinson's had a wretched time at Reading, in all honesty.
I think Ince said straight away it's going to be 4 to 5 weeks at least.
Yeah, it was an Achilles injury. Which tendon injuries are never quick ones, unfortunately for him.
it's a frustrating one with him because every time he comes back, people think that we're going to improve in defence or midfield or where. I mean, yes, they play in midfield, but people think we're going to improve. He plays a game, maybe two, and then he's injured again. It's difficult to see like a long term where Sam Hutchinson has a you know place in this squad next season because there's just no can't rely on it really.
It's frustrating though because actually when he plays, he actually looks quite good.
Yeah.
But the problem is you can't rely on him, and I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can't have a player that's physically not consistent at all. But yeah,
it's going to be in the squad next season regardless because he has a 2-year contract. But it's I just don't see him necessarily being somebody who can kind of even build a team or a squad around in any way. Like he's just going to end up being a backup player, isn't he? And that's it.
Well, I think you look at his career though as well. I mean, it's been a hallmark across his career. You know, I think he's only played more than 30 games in a season once. You know, there's quite a few seasons where he's played less than 10. You know, he's only played, I think, you know, 11, 12 games for us this season. You know, so sadly for Hutchinson, sadly for Reading, seemingly we've got a rather injury prone player that, you know, just sadly can't stay fit for more than 5 games in a row, which you don't really want or need in your team, sadly.
Let's move on to the game yesterday. We started yesterday's game, Matt, with Carroll and Ince up top. Well, I'll go through the lineup. I mean, the formation is kind of up for debate, I guess. But Saar, Holmes and Yeardon as your centre-backs, and Rahman and Hoylett, your wing-backs, and then Loom, Hutchinson, Hendricks started in the midfield together, obviously before Hutchinson comes off, and then Carroll and Ince are the kind of forward players. What did you think of the lineup yesterday, Matt?
Well, I thought Mate might have come back in. He ended up on the bench. Ince has done well kind of when he's played as a second striker. But I always kind of feel with Ince, he's always going to drop deep or like a bit too deep to play as a second striker. You know, I'd much rather him kind of play in behind a two or, you know, out wide of, you know, a three up top. And I kind of feel certainly obviously when the injury to Hutchinson happened and, you know, Long came on, Long and Carroll up top, I thought was a good combination. You know, they seem to work quite well together, whether or not it's, you know, just the footballing intelligence that they've both got. You know, I think they work best there, and kind of Ince works best there when he's not a second striker, you know, because like I say, it gives him more license to drop deep for kind of what I don't know if it's what he likes to do, but he just always tends to do it. You know, you always end up seeing him dropping deep into midfield. And if you're playing a second striker, you don't want to be seeing your second striker that deep in your midfield.
Yeah, he kind of plays as almost the link right between the striker and the midfield when he plays that in that second striker role. Obviously, once he got to 15 minutes, the tactics changed completely anyway. But Paul, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed to see that Aziz and Nesta Guinness-Walker both missed out on the bench yesterday. We had 3 centre-backs on the bench, but no wing-back.
They didn't work when they came on, did they? It just didn't work at all. It was a double whammy. I don't understand, but I think with Paul Ince's mentality with substitutions in general, not always, it's more defensive than attacking, isn't it? Always.
It's what we've got, not what we can get.
I don't know what it is. I understand it. It's like we've got, people will say it's, we're in a restricted squad. I think the problem is with our team is just a lot of our players are really quite old. And I think in the second half of the season, that's really going to show. You got Carroll, Long, Dan. I mean, I'm sure there's others as well. And those all going to pick up and make the second half of the season a lot harder. But yeah, the substitutes, I don't understand why Guinness-Walker isn't in there. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's a really good player to bring on. I mean, as he showed at Norwich.
I mean, a lot of people would say he's a really good player to start and don't understand why Rahman starts because he can't defend. But let's go on to the positives before we look at the negatives of yesterday. Because the first half, I think Reading controlled it. without necessarily playing all that well, Paul?
First 15 minutes, it felt like QPR was slightly on top. We had a few scrambles in their penalty area. Yeah, but no massive chances for QPR. Yeah. It didn't feel like much was happening the whole of the game, to be honest, in that like part of the match. But, yeah, I mean, let's just get to the goal. I mean,
That's the first shot, the goal. I don't think either team had a shot by that point, 25 minutes.
Okay, who out of all of us listening to this or on this podcast right now thought this is going in? None of us thought when Jeff Hendrick came up to strike that ball.
I mean, we were all shouting shoot, though.
None of us believed it was going to go in, though, did we?
Not in the way it did, either. Not like, if you're going to hit it from that far out, like, you expect it to be a shot which kind of, like, flies up and hits into the top corner. If it goes in, you're going to hit the top corner. You're not really expecting it to be this kind of like really low driven shot which curls back round and nestles just inside the post like that. So it's a really good finish by Hendrick.
Absolutely perfect.
He does have it in his locker to score good goals, though, because that one again, I think it was Norwich. And that was a really good finish as well with the outside of his foot from outside the area. So he can do it. But clearly, it's not an every game kind of situation. But he does have it to be able to score.
I think very few players though are going to create a shot like that every game, right? You know, you're not going to, you know. But I mean, it was very Steven Gerrard-esque from the 05 FA Cup final, wasn't it? You know, just little grass trimmer, like say, kind of curling back in. I mean, it was a funny one because it's like when you're in the stand. Everyone's shouting shoot and you're like, oh God. But then he makes the sweetest of connections to it and you see it absolutely zipping like forwards. And then you think, oh, that's a good connection. And then a split second later, you think, this is close. And then it hits the back of the net and it's just glorious.
I was right in line with it, sat in the Dolan, and think, oh, this has got a chance. Like, what a fucking strike that is. Unbelievable that it's gone in. You're kind of like slightly delayed reaction. You can see all the like the reaction in Club 1871 and the whole of the rest of the stadium. It was just one of the best strikes I've seen for years.
Goal of the season wrapped up right there, probably. Sorry? Goal of the season wrapped up right there, do we think?
It was a hell of a strike. What do you think, Alex?
It's got to be in the conversation, isn't it? I can't think of many we've scored which are going to be kind of better this season yet. So we almost made it 2-0 a minute later, Paul, from Jane Long. And it's so disappointing is the wrong word, but it's so frustrating watching Shane Long go for on goal this season in the league because I feel like I've seen him go for on goal, I don't know, 6-7 times. And he hasn't yet managed to put the ball in the net for open play in the league. Like, I just want to see him do it. Like, yesterday it was a good save by the keeper or a block, I can't remember. But it was it's just so frustrating because that 2-0, you know, two goals in 2 minutes. No, it wouldn't have wrapped the game up quite clearly because of the second half. But it's, you know, it's just one of those moments again where we really could do with our strikers finishing chances that they get.
Yeah, I mean, he's not convincing in front of goal, is he, at all? Like, you never feel comfortable that he's going to take the chance. Obviously, he did last week against Watford, as you mentioned. That was in the Cup. But, yeah, I mean, I think the positive there is he created a good chance. And that's a good situation. So you'd rather that than have no chances for your strikers. But maybe Shane will score a couple more goals this season. None of us expected him to get a glut of goals, not realistically. It'd be interesting to see if he starts next week as well. He probably will if he was fit. I'm not sure that he'd be fit now, though. So, yeah, the game was just it's a classic game of two halves. And obviously we got our second goal coming up. And that was really pretty poor from QPR defensively as well, wasn't it?
I mean, they almost had an equaliser before we got the second, I think, as
well. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Matt, the chance that QPR had, it looked really innocuous when I was watching it inside the stadium. And then I watched the highlights of it and I was like, that is a massive chance. And I think Lyndon Dykes has tried to backheel it, like across into the far corner from about 5 yards.
He's done one of those little cheeky flicks, hasn't he, from across. And I have to say, from where I was as well, it looked very innocuous. It was one of those which I thought I just rolled pretty much just across the face of goal, gone 5-6 yards wide. But I mean, when you look back at it, it's a massive, massive chance. You know, it's literally, you know, centimeters wide. It's really, really close.
Yeah, it's a big chance. It could have been 1-1 there, but obviously we go down the other end just before half time, and Hendrick manages to get his third goal of the season for Reading now. I think that must put him near the top of the top scorers list, Paul, because not that many players have scored more than three this season for us. But this one is probably the easiest goal he's going to score compared to the first goal of his career, isn't it?
I've got to say, he's nicked that goal off Unum, hasn't he? 100%, that is going in. I mean, I don't blame him at all. Poor from QPR. I think the goalkeeper probably should do a little bit better there. And I think maybe Dickie's completely switched off at the back and just let him tap it in from probably less than a yard. He's not offside.
I was convinced he was offside when I saw it. I stood right in line with it, and I thought, I can't understand how Hendrick is that close to the goal line if he wasn't offside there. So I could understand why the QPR players have put their arms in the air to call it. Saw the replay and thought, all the QPR players have just stood there as soon as the ball's been saved. And Hendrick's just literally walked past him to tap it in.
But also, like, their right back in the incident from Ince crossing the ball in just comes back on the pitch, doesn't he? So he plays them all on. So excellent from him, I'd say. Good work.
And it kind of comes from nothing, Matt, this, really. It's a pretty tame cross into Andy Carroll, who doesn't win the header, and it just falls to Andy Eardom. And I don't remember the last time that Andy Eardom manages to score, to be honest, for us.
Swansea away? I'm thinking Swansea away years ago. No, I can't remember. No. but I mean, it's a you get some connection on it, wasn't it? And I mean, it wasn't even a cross into Carroll. It was too long, you know. Carroll, I don't even know where Carroll was actually, to be fair, in that move. But yeah, long kind of hustles. It's a really weird one. Like with like their defense is all over the place. You've got like Dykes back in defense. You've got Elias Chair. You know, you've almost got them as your back three in the but it's really weird. Yeah, like where QPR are defensively, I don't know. You know, they're at sixes and sevens seemingly, you know. It's just, but I mean, you know, the shot from Yeardom, it would have been nice to have seen Yeardom score, but yeah, Jeff Hendrick with that striker's instinct, you know, just making sure, you know, who knows, it might have spun 180 and spun out, so you never quite know. So yeah, top work and from Hendrick, just to make sure.
Ginger Perlo, I believe the chant was going yesterday. I'm not quite sure on that one yet, but I'll reserve some judgment. Andy Eardom's last goal, by the way, just for anybody who's wondering, Coventry at home in February 2022 when we lost 3-2.
Not
that scored an equaliser in the second half.
Not that long ago then, seemingly, for a defender.
Less than a year. Let's get on to probably the meat and bones of this match and where we get to have an actual discussion about what the fuck happened, because it was shambles, the second half. I actually think that the second half, the first 10 minutes of the second half, weren't that different from the first half, really. And the game kind of changed, really, on two moments. One was the penalty decision, which, having been told this now, it doesn't really feel like we should have had a penalty call from Shane Long being pushed down. Well, I don't know what minute this was, probably early 50 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was a penalty when I was actually sat there in the dome watching it. Sometimes when you watch these things back on TV, it can look completely different, and that happens regularly. But I've seen it, and I think Shane Long... It's not a dive. He makes contact with Dickie, and Dickie does slightly nudge him in the back, but I think that would be a really soft penalty. If that was given against us, we'd be absolutely gutted. So I think the referee probably made the right decision there. And as much as Paul Ince wants to blame that for the fact that we didn't go on to win the game, yeah, we could have made it 3-0. We all know where the issues lay there, really. It's not with the referee in that scenario.
I think Ince though knows as well, because like, I think even though he was saying that, he was referring then back to, you know, the calamitous, you know, defending. Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't a penalty. I don't think. Let's make no bones about it. You know, Shane Long has run across. He's instigated contact. You know, as much as I want that to be a penalty, because that'd be a game changing moment. You know, there you go, 3-0 up, you win the game. But if, like, yes, he's given the ref a decision to make there, Shane Long. He's been clever, but that's not a penalty. That's the other way, you know.
I mean, Paul Ince compared it to the Tom Ince penalty at Burnley, and they're not even in the same, like, conversation.
No chance. So,
that could have changed the game had it been a penalty. It probably wasn't by the sounds of it.
Thing is, though, Alex, if he does give a penalty there, Dickie's already on a yellow card.
Probably, and it's probably a red card.
Yeah, so it might be. He might have got a yellow card there.
It's a game-changing moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also, if it's not a penalty, it's not a penalty. Like,
no, I don't think it was. So, yeah.
That's just the way it goes. I think ultimately, as everybody who reacted to the game yesterday has said, the game changed on the hour mark when we made two substitutions and Loom came off and Hoylett came off, which is absolutely fine in any game. If Hoylett comes off, I don't have a problem with it. And if Loom comes off, that's absolutely fine. But the substitutions that we made were Scott Dan to come on and Tom McIntyre. We've brought on two centre-backs to replace a right wing-back and a defensive midfielder. It doesn't make any sense. And we've ended up pushing players out of position to compensate, to bring in, like, what's the benefit? I don't understand. And the frustrating part is that there's zero responsibility taken by Paul Ince, Matt, on these substitutions. Yeah. They're bad substitutions. Like, just absolutely no way you can defend them, I think. His only explanation is that he thought Loom and Hoylett were tiring. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but the substitutions that you put on are wrong. They're clearly wrong.
If Hoylett's tired, bring on Mbenge and put Mbenge, at wing back. We know he can play wing back. You know, you've brought on Scott Dan to come into a defence at 2-0 up that's been relatively okay, but now you're shifting around the entire back four. You're moving Yeardom out to right centre back, Holmes out of the central centre back spot to right centre back, and Scott Dan into centre back. You're just playing with the defence, you know, and you're making three changes there mid game, you know, where it's not totally wrapped up. Yes, you'll say it's 2-0, but you know, there's still 30 minutes to go. A lot can happen in 30 minutes, as he found out, and it wasn't even 30 minutes, it was 20, you know. And that then doesn't even touch on McIntyre in midfield.
Yeah, one of the things of bringing Dan on, Paul, is that we introduced a player into a defence which doesn't have a lot of pace against an attack in QPR, who are very nimble, very fast. Well, relatively fast compared to, you know, Scott Dan and Naby Sarr. They're relatively fast. And as soon as a ball goes over the top, like, we're not going to be able to chase them down. And that is kind of what ended up happening. Jamal Lowe gets free for the first goal by going straight past Tom Holmes, because you've got Tom Holmes now at right centre back and not at central centre back. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, there is no sense to the like you say. If you have Sarr, Holmes, Dan in your defence, that is. It's got the turning circle of a bus, isn't it? Quite a lot of those players, and the speed of a very slow one. It's not ideal against a situation to go with the players, like you say, like Roberts, Lowe. They're going to cause you massive problems. The way that Holmes gets completely turned by Roberts is probably because he's had to come from a position which he normally isn't in. So he's had to overcompensate and dive in. Sarr should probably do better for the Roberts strike. The only thing I can say about the whole thing is that Lumley actually had a good game, which is bizarre. But yeah. I never understand the substitutions, because sometimes, like I said a few weeks ago, it's a roulette with Paul Ince and substitutions. And you'll never know what's coming.
Yeah, I agree. We can come. Let's come back on to the substitutions. And yeah, so the first goal, as you say, I think there's probably all three of the centre-backs should and could do better. Lumley makes a really good save in between being 2-1 and 2-2. And then in between, we bring on Meite and Zhao. I don't really think that that is anything that is going to have changed. It didn't change anything at all, really. QPR kind of just carried on with their pressure. And Matt, the second goal for QPR, it's a disappointing one to concede because they've scored from, what, a yard out, pretty much, it feels like. And it's not just one player free. I think it's three of them.
Yeah, and again, it's you know, Tom Holmes, he's, for some reason, you know, like, I think he goes to close out low or someone who has some link-up play on the right, and, you know, Holmes just ends up on the edge of the 18-yard box, and, you know, you've then got Dykes and Roberts both free when after a good save is made by Lumley. You know, you've got to, you know, Lumley there has done nothing wrong. You know, he's, like, to be honest, they should have scored that first shot because, you know, they've had a shot from 6 yards, which, you know, Lumley has somehow saved. You know, he spread himself really well, got a very good hand on it. But then you've got, you know, just an absolute chasm in your defence. To be fair, you know, Saar and kind of Dan are both where you'd expect them to be in a three at the back. But then, you know, you've got no Holmes there because he's seemingly all out at sea. At right centre back, you know, which is just, it's got to so be said, frustrating.
Well, both of their goals come down from the right hand side once Yeardham goes to right wing back.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
like, he's quietly having not a great run of form, I think.
Well, at centre back, he seems to be okay. Like, I think that's a bit harsh to say Yeardham's on a bad run of form. Because at right centre back, he seems to be okay, you know, but then, like, I can't really blame Yeardham that much about today because he's been pushed out. He's had the person who's next to him pushed out, you know, for no real reason. You know, like, if you're up 2-0, surely you want to make as little changes to that back line as possible, unless they're forced. You know, if you've got a situation where, you know, like, both Carroll and Long get injured and they have to come off, fine. You know, if that's two of your centre backs, you've got to make those changes. But Yeardham's been moved out for no reason. Holmes has been moved out for no reason, you know, and now you've brought in, you know, a defender who's, you know, had 60 minutes of football all season or nearly.
You can't have the situation when you've got Holmes, Trent and Maraud forward as the right fullback, wingback, whatever situation. That's just a bit of a joke, isn't it? I mean, that is not his position at all. How we've managed to conjure that up and make the situation worse than it needed to be is something that's quite spectacular there. But the thing is about yesterday was, are any of us surprised that's happened? Because it's been so close to happening in a lot of games at home.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you look at the results that we've had at home this season so far, it did happen yesterday. It could have happened in our last home game against Swansea. And it definitely could have happened a couple more times this season already where we've gone ahead and then we just kind of go, you know what, that's enough. We can sit back now and the game's kind of won. And then we end up, like, just being pressured and pressured and pressured for the last 20 minutes because we, for some reason, think that we've done enough. And I think that when you read and hear what Paul Ince has to say, so often he says, oh, well, it comes down to the players, like, and they're sitting back during games. And, like, I don't buy it. I don't get this. I don't get this attack on the players every single week. It's not really fair on them, I don't think, because he's the one who's sending them out and asking them to do this. I don't think that they're not choosing to sit back based on their own choices. Surely it makes no sense.
Yeah, but one thing I would flag, and something has to change within the players that are on the pitch, is that whenever they get the ball, and I mean, it was happening from about 60, 65 minutes, they just hoof it away to nobody. You know, like, you cannot be doing that as a player. That's not on Paul Ince, that one instance. That's just players. I don't even know if you can say hitting the panic button, because it happens from 60, 65 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I think yesterday it definitely happened because of the fact that once you brought McIntyre on, the midfield basically it kind of collapsed. There was nobody there to give you an outlet at all, really.
But we've done it in previous games, though, Alex. Yeah. That's the thing.
No, it's not
that. Yeah. It's a habit. And as bad as, like, we say about Paul Ince and substitutions, negative and whatever it is, there is also a mentality issue there within that squad. And I also, I enjoyed it when we held on for all those wins. So I'm not going to suddenly like readdress that and make it into a different scenario.
It's part
of this season for me. It's just about winning, picking up points, and that's it.
Is part of the mentality brought on by the fact that that is the, you know, that is what the goal is. Then the mentality becomes, well, we're winning.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure we win the game. Let's cling on.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that is part of the issue. And I can understand that because everybody knows that if you're a player, fan, owner, whatever the situation, manager, you know, you just want to get the 50 points. And the second half of the season was always going to be much harder than the first half. So I think we're going to have more situations like this in the next couple of months, but I still think we're going to be fine. I think that's the thing, like, you know, we shouldn't really be too concerned at the moment about relegation. We're 11 points clear.
Can I just pose a quick question though? Because it's something that I was thinking on the way home yesterday. When was the last time we actually overturned a 2-goal deficit? Because we've given away a 2-goal deficit a couple of times, you know, over the last couple of seasons. I'd be interested to know when the last time we actually overturned a 2-goal deficit.
There was one, and I can't remember off the top of my head. And it was the first time. And it was an away match.
Oh, no. Ignore me. Swansea at home, 3-goal. Ignore me. I'm stupid.
Well, we didn't go on and win it, though, did we? So, yeah,
we didn't,
kind of.
I mean, three. Yeah, no. Point.
Yeah. It's gone to win. Null and void. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, let's move on. That wasn't part of the podcast. Let's move on.
It is a frustrating one, though, yesterday, certainly, because QPR were not on form. We didn't really give them much in the first half, and yet somehow we probably, in all honesty, deserved to lose that game yesterday based on that second half and the last half an hour.
I wouldn't say deserve to lose. I'd say a draw was fair because, I mean, for kind of how bad we were in the second half, QPR were just a shambles in the first half. You know, I mean, you had their fans chanting, "We've had a shot." You know, I mean, they weren't very impressed by their performance, you know. So, like, I think it was just one of those games where it was just a total game of two halves. Like, they had that one chance from Dykes in the first half, but, you know.
Both teams are destined to be in the Championship next season, and defensively...
Two teams going nowhere, you said, on the way back. Two teams, you said, going nowhere,
they are at the moment. Yeah, this season, they're going absolutely nowhere. And I think you can sum up the two performances yesterday is that they both conceded goals when a player tapped in from a yard out. I mean, they're not great either team, are they? No. I think that's the issue. But yeah,
we'll just say it finished 1-1. We'll void those two tap-in goals. It's fine.
Next weekend, we've got Stoke City, who are, I mean, I think quietly they seem to have fallen into a bit of a relegation battle because they're down in 20th place now, Matt, and struggling. Lost their last three in a row. Got one of the worst defences. I mean, they've only conceded 1 goal less than us this season. I know we're away next week, but it feels like there's a potential 3 points there away from home.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And really, who would have thought that when, you know, Alex Neil, you know, took the job there, you know, like manager with good pedigree, good solid teams that he seems to build, even in his time at Preston, you know, made them a solid team. But yeah, you know, we've got one of the worst away records in the league, but you're going to a team that's, you know, winless in 4-3 losses on the bounce, you know, albeit, you know, we're not in the best of form ourselves, you know, 1-4 now, you know, albeit 2 draws in there. But yeah, you know, you're looking at that game and you've got to be looking at taking at least a point, if not 3 there, I'd say.
I still cannot understand why you'd leave Sunderland to go to Stoke. That still completely baffles me. I'll never understand that. But yeah, I agree. I think we should be going there looking to win. Will we win? Not a clue. You never know with us. Anything's possible. But yeah, I think we should do that. And I'm looking forward to going. I didn't think I'd ever say that about Stoke. But yeah, I think
this
will
be your
win.
First... Oh, no, I've done it again. You had an away day and whole
class. You're doing well here, Matt. You're doing
I'm
well.
Just going to end it there. I'm not going to comment again.
Yeah, it's been 17. Trying to do maths here, like off the top of my head, it's not working. Anyway, the last time we beat Stoke was in the 05-06 season, so been a while by this point.
We're overdue.
Yeah, we're probably overdue to beat Stoke, really, because we seem to play them enough that we should have picked up a result there at this point. And we will be back at some point this week to preview the Stoke game, and then back after the Stoke game next weekend to review and round up, hopefully, a win, because if we collapse again, I'm going to just... I have no idea, to be honest, but I'm just not really feeling it. Fed up of seeing his collapse. Anyway, I'm going to end it there, and have a great week, everybody. We'll speak to you all very soon. Cheers.